Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
The Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, August 15th. It's a Friday. Good morning and welcome to EWTN's Catholic Connection. Very excited to have you join us this morning, as we are every single day, Monday through Friday. And looking forward to our discussion. Not only is this the beautiful Solemnity of the Assumption, but it's also a very special day for us at EWTN, because we're celebrating 44 years of religious broadcasting. We'll talk about that with Doug Keck and also in the second hour of the program. Very excited to have Doug on. He, of course, is the Chief Operating Officer Emeritus, and he's just a wealth of information, has been with the network for so many decades, and can give us the inside word not only on the programming that's coming up, which he will do, but also taking a look back. So it's going to be a great segment with Doug. It always is, but this will be very special today. I'm sure he has a lot of memories as well. And then for Fact Check Friday, speaking of EWTN, I found a beautiful clip that was embedded in a really cool story that you need to read. It's on CatholicNewsAgency.com. It's all about our foundress, Mother Angelica, and the Assumption, and how it's just common sense. Makes perfect sense that Mary would have been assumed. And she does a beautiful job of explaining it in her very down-to-earth style. Obviously, it's a program, so we couldn't play the whole thing, but you can watch it because the link, as I said, is embedded in the, there's a hyperlink in the story. But I really would do that because it's interesting, it's entertaining, it's fun, but it's so informative and it's so real. It's so down-to-earth the way she explains it and the way she talks about us compared to the Virgin Mary, compared to Jesus and our bodies and what's going to happen. It's just brilliant. But also, again, in true Mother Angelica style, just so down to earth. And then we'll wrap up the first hour of the program with a friend of mine, Dr. Mary Amore. I actually saw her at a diaconate conference that Deacon Dom and I were leading back in, what was it, I think March? Yeah, and she had a new book out, and we were talking, and she's been on pilgrimage with me before, and she's brilliant. She does a lot of great work and is very, very devoted to the Eucharist. And we were just talking and chatting, and she said that she had a new book, and she gave me a copy, Every Day with Jesus. And I'm excited to talk to her about that. So that's coming up, and I'm sure she'll have a lot to say about the connection between Jesus and our Mama Mary on this, the Solemnity of the Assumption. So that's the first hour of the program. Doug Keck, The Inside Word, Fact Check Friday with Mother Angelica, and then wrapping up with Dr. Mary Amore. Now, weather-wise, we still have a lot of storms that we're looking at across the country. The National Weather Service is saying scattered thunderstorms and heavy rainfall could bring areas of flooding through the weekend over the upper Midwest. A tropical disturbance will bring moderate to locally heavy rain to portions of South Texas into tomorrow. And Tropical Storm Aaron, they're watching that very closely. They're saying that could bring isolated flash and urban flooding, as well as landslides or mudslides, in addition to tropical storm conditions to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So that's affecting that part of the area along the Atlantic. So keep that in mind. If you're traveling down south, you may get hit with some of that weather because it could be felt in other parts as well, but they're watching it very, very closely. It is a Friday morning, the Feast of the Solemnity of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother, August 15th, and we are so glad you're listening to EWTN. We have a lot of news to get through on this Friday morning, so let's get started. It's almost 4 minutes past the hour, and you are listening to the one, the only EWTN. Mary's song, or the Magnificat, strengthens the hope of the humble, the hungry, and faithful servants of God. Those are the words from Pope Leo, as the Vatican explains, giving the reminder during Mass for the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Pontifical Parish of St. Thomas of Villanova in Castel Gandolfo today. The Holy Father began his homily by observing that although today is not Sunday, he added, we celebrate in another way the Paschal mystery of Jesus, which changed the course of history. The Mary of Nazareth, he continued, and recognize our own history, the history of the Church, immersed in the common lot of humanity. By taking flesh in her, the God of life and of freedom has conquered death. The Holy Father recalled to those present in the parish that Mary was there by the cross, united with her Son. In our day, he says, we are like Mary whenever we do not flee, whenever we make Jesus, yes, our own yes. That yes, the Pope added, still lives and resists death in the martyrs of our time. It witnesses of faith and justice, of gentleness and peace, Thus, this day of joy then becomes also a day that calls us to choose how and for whom we shall live. A select number of young people will be chosen in another story to directly converse with Pope Leo during a big session that's coming up. That's according to EWTN Global Catholic Network announcing. It will serve as the exclusive media partner, providing news coverage, broadcast, and digital streaming of Pope Leo's first ever digital visit with American Catholic youth during the 2025 National Catholic Youth Conference, which will take place later this year in November. The historic encounter will connect the Holy Father live from the Vatican with thousands of young people gathered in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, and many more, of course, watching online around the world. Now, according to the organization, the Holy Father is expected to address as many as 15,000 registered young people, ranging in age from 14 to 18, Catholic youth movements across the U.S., and engage directly with them during a 45-minute live dialogue beginning again at 10:15 on November 21st. The other big news, of course, that we're following, President Trump won't share any possible deals he may have in mind when he meets today with the Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska, but he insists that this is only the first step.
I think it's going to be a good meeting, but the more important meeting will be the second meeting that we're having. We're going to have a meeting with President Putin, President Zelensky, myself.
Reports have been rampant regarding Russia-Ukraine land swaps and the possibility of the U.S. offering Russia a rare earth mineral deal if it leads to peace. When asked at the White House yesterday, Trump would only say, we'll see what happens. He again said this wasn't his war, faulting the former president, but he added he wants to see Russia-Ukraine war end. Meanwhile, Russia is attacking Ukraine ahead of that meeting between Putin and Trump. Trump and Putin again are set to meet today in Anchorage. Ahead of the summit, the Ukrainian Air Force says Russia conducted drone and missile strikes at 13 locations across the country this morning, and that Ukraine's air defense systems neutralized 63 Russian drones. Russia, meanwhile, is claiming its air defense system shot down 53 Ukrainian drones overnight. A Hamas delegation has reportedly arrived in Cairo for talks with Egyptian mediators about a possible ceasefire in Gaza.
So far, it doesn't look as though the Israelis have decided to join, though there are reports in the Israeli media that the head of the Mossad spy agency for Israel is now in Qatar, in Doha, speaking with government officials there, trying to talk about the possibility of returning to negotiations.
Reporter Matt Bradley says Israel and the U.S. both pulled out of those negotiations 3 weeks ago. In the meantime, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is continuing, with officials there saying more than 200 people have died of malnutrition-related illnesses. Israel disputes the malnutrition figures reported by health officials in the Hamas-controlled territory. A federal judge is now blocking the Trump administration's birth control mandate exemptions. The Trump administration sought religious and moral carve-outs to an Obamacare requirement making employer health plans cover contraception at no cost. Under Trump, the rules didn't require employers to apply for an exemption because the administration said that would be a violation of their religious rights. However, several states sued the government to halt those exemptions. A religious group that joined a lawsuit alongside the federal government has now expressed plans to appeal that judge's latest ruling. President Trump celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Social Security Act. Speaking from the Oval Office, Trump yesterday touting his efforts to protect and improve the program.
In the campaign, I made a sacred pledge to our seniors that I would always protect Social Security. And under this administration, we're keeping that promise and strengthening Social Security for generations to come.
He noted backlogs and long wait times at field offices on the phone have been addressed. He also highlighted how his one big, beautiful bill ended tax for seniors on Social Security. The Social Security Act was signed by President Roosevelt back in 1935. At least four people are dead after historic rain and flash flooding in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Two adults and a child were killed when a tree was uprooted and fell on their SUV. Officials saying they found the body of a missing man who was swept away by the floodwaters on Tuesday night. The city's mayor, meanwhile, declaring a local state of emergency. A Southern California school district has become the first in that state to prohibit transgender athletes from taking part in girls' sports.
The Kern County Board of Education is committed to upholding fairness, safety, and equal opportunities for all student athletes.
That's Kern County Education Board member Lori Cisneros, who again says it is all about fairness.
Biological differences between male and female athletes can create inherent advantages in competitive sports.
She also says the resolution was done to comply with the federal definition of Title IX, which protects female athletes from being disadvantaged. The vote this week was unanimous. Governor Ron DeSantis is opening a new immigration detention center in northern Florida to house an additional 1,300 people.
We are calling this the Deportation Depot. It is going to be located here at Baker Correctional Institute. And again, the reason of this is not to just house people indefinitely. We want to process, stage, and then return illegal aliens to their home country.
DeSantis says there is a demand for the Deportation Depot with up to 100,000 illegal immigrants in Florida on final removal orders. This comes about a month after Southern Florida's so-called Alligator Alcatraz Detention Center opened. Pointing to the success there, he said more migrants are opting for voluntary departure, which means a free plane ticket home. He added that the Baker County facility is 15 minutes from the Lake City Airport. And Mark Mayfield tells us a man accused of throwing concrete chunks at federal agents in Paramount, California, is pleading not guilty.
On Thursday, Compton resident Elpidio Reyna pleaded not guilty to four felony counts of assault on a federal officer. His trial is scheduled for September the 30th in Los Angeles federal court. Reyna allegedly pelted passing government vehicles with concrete during an immigration enforcement operation in June. At least one federal officer was injured. Reyna was placed on the FBI's most wanted list before he was arrested in Mexico on July 23rd. I'm Mark Mayfield.
As we mentioned in the weather forecast a few minutes ago, Tropical Storm Erin on the verge of becoming a hurricane. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is about 570 miles east of the Caribbean islands with maximum sustained winds of 70 miles per hour. When those winds reach 74 miles per hour, Erin will officially become the Atlantic season's first hurricane. Forecasters say Erin is heading west toward the U.S., but is expected to veer north and is posing no immediate threat right now to the East Coast. The storm is expected to grow into a formidable Category 3 hurricane over the weekend. FEMA responders are assessing damage from last month's severe storms that caused flood damage on Chicago's southwest side. The city says close to 3,000 people reported damage from the heavy rains. FEMA will determine how much more federal funding or low-interest loans are needed. And Daniel Martindale tells us the King Fire near Pyramid Lake in California has now burned 577 acres of land and is 40% contained at this point.
The fire started early Thursday east of the 5 freeway and south of State Route 138 in Gorman. Firefighters from Los Angeles and Kern counties contended with wind gusts of up to 30 miles per hour at the time. The fire spread quickly, destroying a trailer, two vehicles, and two outbuildings at the Pyramid Lake RV Park. An evacuation warning is in place for the Paradise RV Park and three other areas near the fire. There are no reports of injuries. I'm Daniel Martindale.
Finally, in our news segment on a Friday morning, the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Some good news from Wall Street. The Dow is set to open in record territory again this morning as stock futures climb. At last check, Dow futures were up more than 290 points. If it holds, the previous record set in December would be broken. The index was buoyed by a jump in United Health shares after Berkshire Hathaway said it had a stake in the insurance giant. It is a Friday, but not just any Friday. Of course, it's a beautiful day in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church regarding our Blessed Mother Mary, the Assumption. It's also a great day to remember the beginning of EWTN, 44 years on the air now. We'll discuss with our very own Doug Keck, as well as some other folks, as we move through a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial, as we say in radio. We'll be right back.
Clear 2 minutes, and we have Doug.
Oh.
Don't assume.
Hello.
No assumptions, please.
No assumptions. I make no assumptions.
That's right. That's
especially
right.
On the Feast of the Assumption, we can't do those things. Oh, that's that Tom Price fellow.
Boom.
How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Enjoying life?
Starting to recently, but between transitioning and health-related issues, my wife and stuff, and keeping things going, things here settling down a little bit now, and so it's kind of a little more like the ground has stopped shifting. So it's nice to have a little less pressure, around everything that you actually are doing. Without, well, I'm doing this and I got to get this done because I still got these other things I got to make sure I take care of. So So, yes, I'm doing well. How are you? Good?
Well, yeah, really well. Summer's flying by, but, you know, always goes by fast. How would you like me to refer to you, my friend?
I'm the President Emeritus. EWTN President Emeritus and television and radio show host. I guess I'm really more of a TV host, but since some of my TV stuff airs on radio, so.
Okay, that's what I said, Emeritus. I just want to make sure you still want me to say okay.
Yeah, I don't care. You can just call me. Call
I
me
don't
Doug.
Care. Call
just
me.
Just call me. Just don't
just call
me
don't
late, for
late for dinner. Supper. I love that.
Supper. Is sukkah here?
My grandniece, she's four. She still can't pronounce her R's. I keep calling her Rosie because she sounds like my mother.
20.
Shut the door.
20.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Here we go.
10 seconds.
We could talk about the anniversary today, too.
Yeah. Sure. Stand by.
It's been my great honor to have Doug Keck on my program for many years, every Friday at this time, talk about the inside word. He gives us a beautiful update on programming. He now serves as the President Emeritus of this fine radio and TV network, and of course a radio and TV host as well. Doug, there's so much to discuss. It's a beautiful day in the church, the Blessed Mary's Assumption today, but also a big anniversary for us, right? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the Feast of the Assumption was when the network launched, and Michael mm-hmm. would always point out that the network was actually founded the prior December as an entity itself on Our Lady of on the 8th. On December 8th, the Immaculate Conception, and then on the 15th was mm-hmm. when we launched the network. So that's when the network started. You know, that famous clip that we've aired many, many times over the years of a mother, you know, pushing the fader bar, basically on the switcher up to launch EWTN. So, yeah, it's an important date. I think not only in the history of EWTN, it's really an important day in the history of the church in the United States, and now I think globally, because I think Mother's vision and Mother's commitment to the charism she was given is why we, I think, have the revitalization in many areas of the church. And I think there's a lot of things happening in the church that are actually seedlings of things that were either planted by Mother Angelica and the network over the years, or at least have been sustained or fed by it.
I found a really cool clip. We're going to play it. It was actually, there was a link in it in the Catholic News Agency story today, Mother Angelica and the Assumption, about her practicality in mm-hmm. the way she explained things. And she made it, she was obviously a very intelligent woman, obviously, to do what she did, right? She following the will of God. But the way she explained the Assumption, the way she explained why Mary had to be perfect in every way and why she had to be assumed, it was just so real and down to earth. And again, so understandable and relatable.
Right, absolutely. And it's the way she would talk about the Blessed Sacrament and Jesus as her husband. These people are real to Mother Angelica. The saints are real. She's not talking about some wishful thinking thing, or she's not talking about something that, you know, is just up there in the spirit world, so to speak. These are real people. The Blessed Mother is real to her. And she's trying to tell you she's real to you, too. And our Lord is real to you. You know, she's had those spiritual experiences in such a way, in a dramatic fashion in many ways, her mm-hmm. healing. You know, the famous story about how when she was starting the radio network, as far as the short wave, she saw, you know, they went to visit it, and somebody said, this probably isn't the right place. And she said, it is the right place. And they said, it's not the right place. She said, do you see St. Michael over there? They said, no. Well, I do, so this is the right wow. place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have that. And there are a lot of other stories and things that, some of which, I guess, if you read in one of Ray's books, you might pick up on it. Or the fact is that you didn't even hear about different times Mother had other visions of different saints. You know, so these people were real to her. She was talking about reality. She wasn't talking about something that she was hoping was true.
I think also we don't know, and of course a mother may know now, but how many people that she reached and how many people this network has reached. It's got to be, I can't even imagine a number, Doug.
Well, it's funny because, you know, one of the things that we're running later this morning is Meditations on the Assumption by the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel, who used to say, and I remember talking to him, and he probably said it to other people too, but your conversation, he said, we're never going to know how many people EWTN really helped and got into heaven until we get to the other side, just as you're saying. And so, you know, it's great to have him on later. And we've got the Mass of the Assumption coming from the Basilica, as we normally do from Washington, coming up at noon Eastern. We've also got an international Mass on the Feast of the Assumption coming from Lourdes, which will be airing at 3 p.m. That's an encore. It aired in the middle of the night. But for those who weren't up, at 4 a.m. Eastern, you get a chance to see it. There's another special on the Blessed Mother called Crushed by the Woman at 5:30 p.m. today. We also have Holy Mass from Castel Gandolfo with the Holy Father from the local parish up there on the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, just some of the other events that are happening around the Blessed Mother, of course. And we also got Hope, Our Lady of Knock, which is airing tomorrow. You can check that out. We've got a program on the Crusades on Sunday, and we've also got Divine Liturgy from Pennsylvania, and that's a Mass of the Assumption from the Ukrainian Catholic Church in Centralia, Pennsylvania. I think we've done that a couple of years in a row, trying to, you know, make sure we offer opportunities for our Eastern Rite brothers. And so there's a lot of exciting things happening at EWTN.com.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, it's just fascinating. You mentioned Lourdes. I was thinking about it when I was praying to what to talk about in my 2 cent segment. I wanted to talk about the Assumption, but I was thinking about Our Lady of Lourdes, and I was thinking about what St. Bernadette said about what Our Lady of Lourdes told her when she asked her to identify herself. And she said, I am the Immaculate Conception. And, of course, Bernadette had no idea what that meant, but that is connected directly, if you think about the holiness and the pureness of Our Lady, the Assumption, and the Immaculate Conception.
Right, and obviously the patroness of the United States, in the sense, the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the two of those, and the fight of the family, which Our Lady had conveyed at Fatima, or at least over a period of time, to Sister Lucia, and we're seeing it played out. You know, nobody can say that one of the biggest battles we're fighting over the last certainly 25 or 30 years, I mean, the seeds of it go back to the 60s, but has clearly been the attack on the family, the attack on marriage, the institution, even to the point of getting to the point of what is it to be a human being, let alone a woman or a man. And I think that's something where our present Holy Father is very much aware of, which the AI focus, which is really has to do with this idea of trying to not lose ourselves in some sort of future cyborg virtual reality situation, and reminding us of the dignity we have because of God.
You know, it's important to think about these feast days and always God's timing. My pastor last night at the end of Mass before the dismissal said it's no coincidence that the meeting between Trump and Putin is on the Feast of the Assumption. He talked about Fatima and had us say the Hail Mary before we left. I thought, wow, that gave me the chills. I guess I wasn't thinking about that going into Mass. I was just trying to calm myself down, as I always do, and stop thinking about everything outside and concentrate on the Mass. But gave me chills when he said that. And we need EWTN to help us understand the connection between these things.
Right, and that's a great, great point. And of course, you know, for all of the, you know, and I want to get into the politics of Donald Trump. Many people think he's doing a really good job. Other people think he's close to the Antichrist. I'm sure he's not either one of those necessarily, at least on any given day of the week. But the idea of, at least it seems to be, and he's certainly spoken about enough, have had a certain amount of an awakening from the assassination attempt last year, when he realized how close he came to death and realized that he believes he was protected by God. Depends on, you know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I have no idea. Maybe it was pure luck. But the idea of it being that at least there's a sense there that there's something greater than oneself. And whatever that means to anybody, it's helpful. And it certainly gives us a sense that maybe there are things where, as we said, in the final days of these kinds of attacks and stuff like that, we do have to turn to prayer. We have to look at these opportunities. And we know in different times in the past where many major events and things, you know, people after the fact realized, oh, that was on the Immaculate Conception. Oh, that was on the Feast of the Assumption. Oh, that happened on Our Lady of Guadalupe. And there was a, you know, a feast day or something related to this change. And we know that that our Lord is and the saints are powerful intercessors if we just use them. He's always knocking on the door. So
We have to open the door, like that picture, right? The painting of that scene from Revelation where he's standing at the door knocking. But there's no doorknob because we have to open the door.
Right,
because
you have to have free will. He can't force anything on you. So, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's so great to have you on. Thank you for being with us, even though you are now President Emeritus.
That's right.
Which is a very
nice
title, by the way. But you're still hosting shows and joining us, and we appreciate it. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll catch up again, God willing, next Friday, Doug.
Thanks for making me look good.
That's easy. I don't have to. It's very easy work, trust me. And you sound good, too. Our friend Doug Keck, of course, President Emeritus of EWTN. And we'll continue our discussion on EWTN and the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A real treat for you this morning, a clip from one of Mother Angelica's live shows where she is talking about how the Assumption, the Immaculate Conception, come on, it's just common sense. We'll be right back. Having a great day on this, the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Great to be with you. And great to share with you this wonderful clip from our dear Mother Angelica, the founders of this network, on this day marking 44 years on the air. Isn't that amazing? 44 years. And one of the things I loved about Mother Angelica, and I think we all did and do, because we have so much material to play, which is awesome, is her down-to-earth way of explaining the truths of the faith. She was very smart. She always had the Bible with her. You had to be smart. You had to have a certain amount of intelligence to be able to do what she did. Okay. She had a lot of, you know, true grit. She was a very strong personality. But come on, in order to do what she did, she had to be extremely intelligent. But the way she explained the faith made us all feel very comfortable. We could relate to her because she had a lot of suffering in her life. She didn't put herself up on a pedestal. She made fun of herself. And she was just so darn real. And I believe that's one of the main reasons why she caught on and this ministry caught on, was because of her wonderful down-to-earth personality. So as we celebrate the Assumption and as we commemorate 44 years of spreading the eternal word, let's look back. And again, the link to this piece that I'm going to play, it's an entire program, so we obviously can't play it all. I'm just going to play a few minutes of, about 2.5 minutes, can be found at catholicnewsagency.com this morning. And the story is entitled Remembering Mother Angelica's Reflection on Mary's Assumption, where she says, and Tom's going to roll the tape right now, where she says, you know what? It just makes sense. Here we go.
But you see, Our Lady now, you say, well, why should she be so different? Well, because she was created by God. Before time began, he had her in his mind to be the mother of his son, the eternal word. And you can't even think for a half a second that the mother of God could be in the hands of Satan, even for a half a second. See, that would defile the temple. I mean, that's common sense. You don't need anything else to really realize that God's temple had to be absolutely perfect for his sake. See? So if you say, well, I don't know why she, I don't believe in Immaculate Conception, well, you're being a little dumb, because common sense tells you this was absolutely essential. We were all born with original sin. And we have consequences for original sin, even after baptism, you know. You manifest very young in life, jealousy, anger, oversensitivity. Little kids get really very angry. And some kids, they don't care. So we're born with a lot of things that, you know, are not like Jesus, see? And so we have to overcome these things. Our Lady was born absolutely created by God, conceived, and went her entire life, never, never committing one fault or imperfection. And so what happens? Well, she begins to benefit by the same graces we will have without all that. We're all going to rise one day. You say, well, how will I look? Well, if you're going to heaven, you look pretty good. If you're going the other place, I don't think you want to know. You say, why? Because all the people down there are ugly, ugly, ugly.
Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN, from an EWTN broadcast of her program. This was from August 15th, 2000. The article goes on to say that she explains a Feast of Our Lady's Assumption. A lot of people don't understand that, she said. They get it all mixed up with Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, and it's different. She goes on to say, St. Thomas, according to tradition, was always late, always late. We all have somebody like that in our family. They're always late. So when he came, they opened up the tomb, and she was gone. And from the very beginning of Christianity, Mother Angelica says, it was always believed, and this is what Father Mitch talked about yesterday, this is what Steve Ray discussed on Catholic Connection yesterday about the Assumption, it was always believed that she was assumed into heaven. And again, it just makes sense. Because she was so pure and so holy, there was no reason for her to rot away like we're going to. Now, why did I choose this for Fact Check Friday? Because Fact Check Friday over the years has become a place where I can point out the many issues with the media. And at times I do show you what's good about the media. And that's what I'm doing this morning. Thank God we have EWTN. We have EWTN that we can turn to in times of trouble and times of joy for maybe an interesting interview or maybe a documentary or maybe, as Doug Keck said previously, a place to go. And we can go around the world to see what's happening in the church, but never having to leave our home or our office. We can put it on our phone, for goodness sake, and that's all good. And this is a really good example of the media and doing things wisely and well. St. John Paul II referred to the media as the new Areopagus. Of course, the Areopagus in Athens, where the people of the day would meet in St. Paul's time to hear the news. And he didn't win many people over at that time, St. Paul. But John Paul II believed that the media could be used well and wisely, as we try to do every day for you here on EWTN. And so that's why he called the media the new Areopagus. That was in one of his World Communications Day statement. And Mother Angelica helped to bring that about, I truly believe. And so she got her facts right, her facts about the faith, her facts about life in general, because she just had a whole heck of a lot of common sense. And so if you don't understand the Assumption, and it's a beautiful teaching, but it is very deep, then take a look at this article. Use this day on this feast day as a chance to maybe refresh your memory, revisit the beautiful teachings of the church, and maybe even read the document connected to the dogma and the encyclical. And you'll get great information in this article. Remember Mothering Angelica's reflections on Mary's assumptions. It just makes sense. And I'll be talking about the Assumption a little bit more in the next hour of the program as well. But we really need to go back to the basics. Super important. I mean, in addition, obviously we go to Mass because we have that obligation today, because it's a holy day. But what are we doing by going to Mass and celebrating the Assumption? What does that mean? The gospel for today is the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the Magnificat of the Lord, the magnificence of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In his homily last night, my pastor said, how are we rejoicing in God, our Savior? What are we doing to be more like our Blessed Mother in terms of recognizing who her Savior is and what he does for each of us, in addition to what he did for his mother, the Blessed Mother? So what a great day to offer this up to our Lord, to ask for Mary's intercession, to get to know her even more intimately by understanding this beautiful feast, the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it makes sense, as Mother Angelica said, when you tie the two together with the Immaculate Conception. So maybe today also do a little research on the messages of Lourdes. When the Blessed Mother told Bernadette, when she asked, people want to know who you are, what is your name? And she responded, I am the Immaculate Conception. It is a beautiful day in the church, brothers and sisters. Don't let it get away from you. Do some prayers. Ask Mary's Intercession and get to know her a lot better. We can help you do that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Catholic Connection. You know, if you want to know Mary better, get to know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus better, get to know his mom, Mary. And our guest, beautiful sister in the Lord, Dr. Mary Amore, knows all about that. She has another book in terms of every day. She has a book, Every Day with Mary. And the book we're going to talk about today, though, Mary, is your book, Every Day with Jesus. So tell us, I know we were talking about this when we met earlier this year when Deacon Dom and I were speaking in Chicago, but why is it important for you to offer these devotionals for people? And we're so happy you joined us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Teresa. You know what? I think it's important because, you know, a daily devotional format is a way for people to just begin their day. It might take a minute and a half to pray it, and then it gives you a question to ponder throughout the day. So it places our daily lives in the presence of Jesus, Mary, and there's actually one for Joseph, too, so we've got the whole family.
There you go, the whole Holy Family. Yes. There you go, you got the Trinity there. Well, not the actual Trinity, but the Trinity in terms of three books, so
the Holy,
that's a good
exactly.
thing. Yeah. So in terms of this book, you're very Eucharistic-centered. I mean, we all should be, but you really want to encourage people to get closer to Jesus in the Eucharist, correct?
Correct, right. This Every Day with Jesus, there are 365 reflections on the Eucharist, and what makes them important is that you know, it starts with a little scripture passage, and then the reflection is really like a personal story or an encounter that people have or I've had with Jesus at the Eucharistic table, because stories are important, Teresa. You know that. They connect with the story. Doctrine sometimes people struggle with, but when you can bring doctrine into a real-life experience of Jesus at the Eucharist, then it makes it real. And then, you know, then, like I said, it gives the question for people to ponder. And so my whole goal of this is to help people to understand that we are to become the very mystery that we receive, so that we can go out into our families and our workplaces and into this broken world, and to be Jesus for one another. So that's the goal of the book.
Talking with Dr. Mary Amore, and she holds a Doctor of Ministry degree in Liturgical Studies. She's a national speaker and the executive director of Maze Lake Ministries, and of course a very well-known author. What really I think is frustrating to me sometimes is how many Catholics even, Mary, don't know about all of the Eucharistic miracles.
Oh, no, they don't know about the miracles, first of all, because they don't understand what's happening at the Eucharistic table. You know, Teresa, again, there's a whole chapter. Every month is devoted to a specific attribute of Jesus. And one of the chapters is on faith. And we explore the role of faith, because if we don't have faith in the words of Jesus, this is my body, this is my blood, do this in memory of me, then all we're going to see is a white object. And I go to Mass every day. And I see people go up to communion, they take the Eucharist, and then they walk out the door absolutely no different. And I scratch my head and I think, how is it possible that we can have an experience of the Eucharistic Jesus at this table and yet not go out differently, not be transformed, not be healed, not be on fire with our faith? So, people, they just don't understand, right?
So whose fault is it? I mean, sometimes it could be by no fault of our own, but in this day and age, with all the information available, I think we have to take some of the responsibility personally. But what do you think has happened where so many people dismiss it sometimes?
You know, I think our faith has just become so secular. Not our world has become so secular. And, you know, with the advent of social media, you've got everybody and anybody posting things, and people immediately say, well, if it's on Facebook, it must be true. You know, and so it's like, oh, dear Lord. But, you know, just go back to the scripture. Go back to, you know, if you're struggling, here's the thing. You know, I was born and raised a cradle Catholic, but I wasn't always on fire for the Eucharist. I grew up in a Baltimore catechism life, so I knew my doctrine and I could spit it back out. But it wasn't until I grew up, became a mother and a wife, that I began to know the heart of Jesus. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him. And all he's asking us to do is to come before him and say, Lord, please reveal yourself to me and stand back because he's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to open our hearts up to him. It's so simple.
Really. Is there a particular point? What was it you said when you became a wife and a mother, but were there instances, maybe the birth of your first child? Was there something that triggered something, a desire in you?
You know, absolutely. You know, it was actually right before my children were born. I had gone to one of my reunions of my grammar school, and I was talking to this man that I went to grammar school with, Jim, and he was telling me that he loved the Eucharist so much that he would give his life for it. He said, in other words, if somebody came in with a gun and they were going to steal the tabernacle, he said, I would take a bullet for Jesus. Mm. Well, Teresa, I went home that night and I said, wow, he's got something that I don't have. And that began the quest. And I prayed every day, Lord, please help me to know that you're really there. And so, you know, years later, I can honestly say that I know he's there, and I would lay down my life for him. But it takes that metanoia on our part to say, okay, I want to know you, right? Because he's always
knocks,
there.
You know, we were just talking in the last segment with Doug Keck, that image of Jesus knocking on the door. I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
And if you open it, I will come and dine with you, which is often referred to. Dr. Scott Hahn talks about that as being a reference to the Eucharist. But we look at that beautiful painting of which basically paints that image in Scripture. And there's no doorknob on the outside of the door where Jesus is knocking, because you have to open the door, right?
Correct. Right. It takes that free will of ours, you know. And, you know, sometimes this image I get when I come to the altar is, you know, the woman with the hemorrhage, when she's just reaching out to touch the thread of his garment. And I get that image, and then I think to myself, but wait, you're coming to me. You're coming to me, body and soul, body and blood. At the Eucharistic table, and it's such an honor. And if people could just pray with those images, you know, I think their experience of Jesus in the Eucharist would be so much more profoundly transformational.
Given your book, and given that in a few weeks we're going to have the canonization of two amazing young men who are both dedicated to Christ in the Eucharist, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis, do you think and hope that maybe their canonizations, because of their dedication to the Eucharist and how they wrote about it, Carlo in our age, and then, of course, Pier Giorgio earlier in the 20th century, but they were both so Eucharistically centered. Do you think that will make a difference and get people's curiosity?
I surely hope so. I think that Carlo, especially because I think he's been up in the forefront a little more for our young people, you know, because I'm the mother of two young adults, and so I understand the struggles, you know, that they have with everything that's going on. So yes, it is my hope, and I know that God's in control, that these two saints will help relight the fire of faith, not only in the younger generation, but in ours as well. So
we were talking earlier in one of my previous segments about Mother Angelica and how down to earth she was, and I know that you're like that too, even though you're very well educated and so knowledgeable in the faith. How important is it to be able to explain the teachings of the church in a way that people can embrace it in their lives and apply it, Mary, do you think?
Oh, Teresa, it's absolutely essential. Because again, going back to my childhood, I was raised with, you know, memorized doctrines and spit it back out. Okay, fine. But I didn't understand any of it. So when we can take the mysteries of our faith, of our Catholic faith, and we can make them relevant, and we can meet people where they are and then realize that we're just to sow the seeds and then get out of the way and let God, you know, do what God needs to do. And so often people think, well, especially in their families, you know, if they don't listen to me, if my children don't listen to me, you know, then I'm not going to talk to them. Well, Jesus wasn't like that. You know, we have to be loving and forgiving, and we have to help them see Jesus in us. Because if they don't see Jesus in us, then who are they going to find him in? So right. I think it's very important, like Mother Angelica, to make our faith relevant to everyone.
And your book will help people do that, right?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. I mean, there's just the stories in here are, you know, wonderful. There's this one story where I was writing this book as my life was unfolding, although there's many stories that pull upon the past as well. But I was at my desk at work writing, and one of the beloved deacons who had been very sick at our parish passed away, Peter. Mm. And all of a sudden that meditation took a turn, and I started talking about, you know, being a faithful servant. And now Peter, who had served at the table of our Lord, will now, you know, will enjoy the eternal banquet. And that can happen for all of us as well. So, I mean, so these are, they're real life little vignettes in there that will touch people on their spiritual journey, but they're all about the Eucharist, every single one of them. And there's actually a week in there for Holy Week as well.
What I like about it as well, and I like to do this with my books, is you have a reflection, and then you have a question. You have a scripture verse, of course. Mm-hmm. You have a reflection, a question, and then an act and a short prayer. So giving them a little bit of homework, but that's making it applicable in their lives, right?
Correct. Right. Yes. Right. They're reading this, but then, yes, the reflection will say, well, you know, ask you, well, what aspect of your life have you ever experienced Jesus? You know, and they might think, well, if I haven't, how can I? You know, it's mm-hmm. just to kind of till the soil of their soul to say, okay, you know, this can happen to anyone. Why isn't it happening to me? So that free will
think,
again. We just got to turn.
Sometimes I think there are experiences in our life, but we put them aside and we say, oh, that can't be God because I'm not good enough, or
right.
you know, God
I'm
would never
worthy.
Do that for me. I'm not worthy enough. And yet we mm-hmm. miss those things, that those signs that God is giving us, right?
He is. You know what, Teresa? You're so right. He is talking to us every mm-hmm. moment of every day in every situation. But all we have to do is just keep our eyes and our ears open. We have to be attuned to him.
Right.
You know, my story is like I was raising my children. They were very young, not even in grammar school yet, when God decided to call me out of the kitchen, literally, into ministry. I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, I started my graduate studies, and I just said, okay, Lord, help me out here. And, you know, I call them candy kisses from God. It was like these illuminating moments.
Oh, candy kisses. That is so cute.
I know. That's my favorite phrase. And, you know, he just feeds us the sweetness of his life every moment of every day. We just got to be open to receiving it.
I call them God-cidences. Not coincidence,
yes,
but God-cidences. Right?
You got it. And you know, yeah. Anybody who really has a deep relationship with Jesus knows what you and I are talking about. Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, know? I think so this book is beautiful. I was so grateful you gave me a copy when we ran into each other earlier this year. And it's beautiful and it's easy to read. And might as well get the other ones too and have that whole collection.
Exactly.
Where do we find Every Day with Jesus and the other books, Mary?
Okay, Every Day with Jesus, Every Day with Mary, Every Day with Joseph can be found on the website of OSV, our Sunday Visitor. They printed them. But they're also on Amazon. So anybody who, you know, shops on Amazon, and who doesn't, you know, they can find them on there as well. And you can have Jesus in your hand by tomorrow.
There you go. And I believe we also have them, as always do. We try to have all of our authors on our EWTN religious catalog. So check it out there, too.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mary, great to catch up with you, my dear. God bless you. Continued success with these series of books. What's your next one? Every Day with Whom? Who's it going to be?
I'm working on Every Day with the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
But, you know, you have over 10,000 saints, so you could go through the whole.
I could. Yeah, I'll keep writing until God says, all right, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on over.
Good stuff. All right.
Yes,
thanks, my
stuff.
Dear. Got to run. God love you. Thanks for this book. Again, the book is Every Day with Jesus and our friend, Dr. Mary Amore, which, by the way, means love in Italian. Amore, amore. It's a beautiful name. Maria Amore. So check it out. Every Day with Jesus. It's a beautiful book. Devotional, scripture verse, reflection, and even little homework assignments. Always a good thing. We'll be right back. Four minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mama Mary, pray for us. Coming up in the second hour of the program, in 2 cents, we'll continue our discussion of the Assumption and some things that I like to think about when it comes to our mother, and some ways that's been helpful for me to understand it through some of my friends who are great apologists. So we'll talk a little bit about that and where you can find information. And then we're also going to take a look at the 25th anniversary. This is celebrating a lot of anniversaries here at EWTN. It's very cool. So Edwin Lopez is going to be joining us, and he is going to be discussing the 25th anniversary of evangelizing, EWTN evangelizing in the Pacific Rim. How cool is that? I mean, you think about it. One thing that always gives me the chills when I go down to do whatever I have to do, whether it's something for the radio show or a conference or doing an interview on one of my books, and you walk into the reception area, and behind the reception desk, you see all these monitors and all the different times around the world that EWTN and places that EWTN is being broadcast, which, by the way, is right next to one of the control rooms. So it's a pretty awesome thing to think about and to see. The Word of God, the EWTN, right? The eternal word going out to the four corners of the earth. All because of the guts of a nun named Rita, her real name, Rita Rizzo, our own Mother Angelica. Talk more about the Assumption and EWTN in the next hour. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday, a beautiful feast day in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. It is the Assumption, the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hour number two of Catholic Connection here on EWTN's Radio Extra. Wishing you a beautiful day today. It is a holy day of obligation. Maybe you went to Mass last night, but if you didn't, you still don't need to go to Mass today. But maybe on your way, you can go in a little early. My pastor, my spiritual director, always tells me, get to Mass early. That's easy as a deacon's wife. I automatically go early with Dom. I take my Magnificat or my Word Among Us, and I do the readings and read the reflection there. And then the homily means even more to me. The readings mean even more to me when I have time to pray with them before Mass. So maybe you might want to do that. And maybe you also might want to go to CatholicNewsAgency.com, as I mentioned in the first hour, and check out the beautiful story that they wrote about Mother Angelica and her teaching on the Assumption, which is thrown in with, of course, the Immaculate Conception as well. And this was on August 15th, 2000. Today is a big anniversary for EWTN, 44 years of broadcasting. That switch was flipped on the, Feast of the Assumption 44 years ago. How exciting is that? And we'll talk about that later in the program with Edwin Lopez, just to show you how far and wide this network is reaching. We'll be talking about evangelizing in the Pacific Rim and the 25th anniversary of EWTN Philippines. Again, Edwin Lopez will be in studio with us to talk about that. And during our Two Cents segment, we will be diving a little bit more deeply into the Assumption, also share some words of wisdom from my own mother, Rosie, in terms of what she thought of the Blessed Mother, with whom she had a very, very strong relationship. She loved Our Lady. And I have a whole chapter in my book, Everything's Coming Up Rosie, all about the Blessed Mother based on my mom's relationship and what she taught us, myself and my two sisters, about Mary. And she'd always say, listen to your mother, as in M-O-T-H-A. And she not only meant her, but she certainly meant our Blessed Mother Mary. So we'll talk about that in 2 cents. Weather-wise, let's take a look and see what the National Weather Service is saying. We have scattered thunderstorms and heavy rainfall bringing areas of flooding to the weekend over the upper Midwest. A tropical disturbance bringing moderate to locally heavy rain to portions of South Texas into tomorrow. And then we have Tropical Storm Erin may bring isolated flash and urban flooding, landslides or mudslides even, and a tropical storm. And it could get bigger. And that could happen in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. It is a Friday morning, not any Friday. It is a Feast of the Assumption. We appreciate you here on EWTN, but we have a ton of news to get through, so let's get started while you're listening to the EWTN Radio Extra Channel on a Friday. All about the Assumption, the Holy Father saying Mary's song, the Magnificat, strengthens the hope of the humble, the hungry, and the faithful servants of God. Pope Leo giving this reminder during Mass for the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as the Vatican reports, at the Pontifical Parish of St. Thomas of Villanova in Castel Gandolfo today, south of Rome. Holy Father began his homily by observing that although today is not Sunday, we do celebrate another way with the Paschal Mystery of Jesus, which changed the course of history. He said, "In Mary of Nazareth, we recognize our own history, the history of the church immersed in the common lot of humanity. By taking flesh in her, the God of life and of freedom has conquered death." The Pope recalling, as Vatican News tells us, to those present in the parish that Mary was there by the cross, united with her son. In our day, he says, we are like Mary whenever we do not flee, whenever we make Jesus, yes, our own yes. And that yes, Pope Leo said, still lives and resists death in the martyrs of our time and witnesses of faith and justice and of gentleness and peace. Thus, this day of joy becomes also a day that calls us to choose how and for whom we shall live. Meanwhile, a select number of young people will be chosen to converse with Pope Leo during a special session, EWTN Global Catholic Network announcing it will serve as the exclusive media partner, providing news coverage, broadcast, and digital streaming of Pope Leo's first ever digital visit with American youth during the 2025 National Catholic Youth Conference, hosted by the National Federation for Catholic Youth Ministry, and that will take place November 21st of this year. The historic encounter will connect, as Catholic News Agency tells us, the Holy Father live from the Vatican with thousands of young people gathered in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis and many more watching online around the world. According to the organization, the Holy Father is expected to address as many as 15,000 registered young people, ranging in age from 14 to 18, from Catholic youth movements across the U.S., and engage directly with them during a 45-minute live dialogue beginning at 10:15 a.m., again on November 21st. In other big news that we're watching for you this morning, of course, President Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin today, but he won't share any possible deals he may have in mind when he meets with Vladimir Putin in Alaska. He says people should remember this is the first step.
I think it's going to be a good meeting, but the more important meeting will be the second meeting that we're having. We're going to have a meeting with President Putin, President Zelensky, myself.
Reports have been rampant regarding Russia-Ukraine land swaps and the possibility of the U.S. offering Russia a rare earth mineral deal if it leads to peace. When asked today at the White House, or yesterday actually, Trump would only say, we'll see what happens. He again said this wasn't his war, faulting former President Biden, adding, though, he does want to see an end to the Russia-Ukraine war. Meanwhile, Russia is attacking Ukraine ahead of Putin's meeting with the president. Trump and Putin are set, once again, as we mentioned, to meet today in Anchorage, Alaska. Ahead of the summit, the Ukrainian Air Force saying Russia conducted drone and missile strikes at 13 locations across the nation this morning, and that Ukraine's air defense systems neutralized 63 Russian drones. Russia, meanwhile, is claiming its air defense system shot down 53 Ukrainian drones overnight. And a Hamas delegation has reportedly now arrived in Cairo for talks with Egyptian mediators about a possible ceasefire in Gaza.
So far, it doesn't look as though the Israelis have decided to join, though there are reports in the Israeli media that the head of the Mossad spy agency for Israel is now in Qatar, in Doha, speaking with government officials there, trying to talk about the possibility of returning to negotiations.
Matt Bradley reports Israel and the U.S. both pulled out of those negotiations 3 weeks ago. In the meantime, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is continuing, with officials there saying more than 200 people have died of malnutrition-related illnesses. Israel disputing the malnutrition figures reported by health officials in the Hamas-controlled territory. A federal judge is now blocking the Trump administration's birth control mandate exemptions. The Trump administration sought religious and moral carve-outs to an Obamacare requirement, making employer health plans cover contraception at no cost. Under Trump, the rules didn't require employers to apply for an exemption because the administration said that would be a violation of their religious rights. However, several states sued the government to halt the exemptions, a religious group that joined a lawsuit alongside the federal government expressing plans to appeal the judge's latest ruling. And the president is celebrating the 90th anniversary of the SSA, or Social Security Act. Speaking from the Oval Office yesterday, Trump touting the efforts that he's done to protect and improve the program.
In the campaign, I made a sacred pledge to our seniors that I would always protect Social Security. And under this administration, we're keeping that promise and strengthening Social Security for generations to come.
He noted backlogs and long wait times at field offices on the phone have been addressed. Trump also highlighting his one big, beautiful bill that ended tax for seniors on Social Security. The Social Security Act, by the way, signed by President Roosevelt back in 1935. And at least four people are dead after historic rain and flash flooding in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Two adults and a child were killed when a tree was uprooted and fell on their SUV. Officials say they found the body of a missing man as well, who was swept away by the floodwaters Tuesday night. The city's mayor, meanwhile, has declared a local state of emergency. A Southern California school district has become the first state to prohibit men identifying as girls athletes from participating in girl sports.
The Kern County Board of Education is committed to upholding fairness, safety, and equal opportunities for all student athletes.
Kern County Education Board member Lori Cisneros says this is indeed all about fairness.
Biological differences between male and female athletes can create inherent advantages in competitive sports.
She also says a resolution was done to comply with the federal definition of Title IX. Title IX protects female athletes from being disadvantaged. The vote this week, by the way, was unanimous. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is opening a new immigration detainment center in the northern part of his state to house, he says, an additional 1,300 people.
We are calling this the Deportation Depot. It is going to be located here at Baker Correctional Institute. And again, the reason of this is not to just house people indefinitely. We want to process, stage, and then return illegal aliens to their home country.
DeSantis says there is demand for the Deportation Depot with up to 100,000 illegal immigrants in Florida on final removal orders. This about a month after Southern Florida's so-called Alligator Alcatraz Detention Center opened. Pointing to the success of Alligator Alcatraz, he said more migrants are opting out for voluntary departure, which means a free plane ticket home. He added that Baker County facility in northern Florida is just 15 minutes from the Lake City Airport. And Mark Mayfield tells us a man accused of throwing concrete chunks at a federal agent in Paramount, California, is now pleading not guilty.
On Thursday, Compton resident Elpidio Reyna pleaded not guilty to four felony counts of assault on a federal officer. His trial is scheduled for September the 30th in Los Angeles federal court. Reyna allegedly pelted passing government vehicles with concrete during an immigration enforcement operation in June. At least one federal officer was injured. Reyna was placed on the FBI's most wanted list before he was arrested in Mexico on July 23rd. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And as we mentioned in the weather a few minutes ago, Tropical Storm Erin on the verge of becoming a hurricane. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is now about 570 miles east of the Caribbean islands, with maximum sustained winds of 70 miles per hour. When the winds reach 74 miles an hour, the storm will officially become the Atlantic season's first hurricane. Forecasters say the storm is heading west toward the U.S., but is expected to veer north and is posing no immediate threat to the East Coast. The storm is expected to grow into, though, a formidable Category 3 hurricane, and that could happen over the weekend. FEMA responders are assessing damage from last month's severe storms that caused flood damage on Chicago's southwest side. The city says close to 3,000 people reported damage from the heavy rains. FEMA will determine how much federal funding or low-interest loans are needed. And high housing costs are making some buyers more willing to risk safety for affordability. A recent Redfin survey finding 22% of home buyers would be willing to trade safety for affordability, while 27% say they'd compromise by giving up a low crime area. Although some home buyers are willing to compromise, more than 70% of those surveyed actually said they call personal safety and low crime must-haves. Low natural disaster risk and access to grocery stores also ranking pretty high among respondents. And some good news from Wall Street as we wrap up a Friday morning news on August 15th. The Dow opening in record territory this morning as stock futures climbed at last check, and that was earlier today. Dow futures up more than 290 points. If it holds, the previous record set in December would be broken. The index was buoyed by a jump in United Health shares after Berkshire Hathaway said it had a stake in the insurance giant. It is a Friday, but not just any Friday. It is the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On this day, 44 years ago, EWTN was launched. There you go. We're going to talk about the network's growth in a little bit. At the bottom of the hour, Edwin Lopez will be in studio with us to talk about the 25th anniversary, another great anniversary, of EWTN Philippines, as well as evangelizing in the Pacific Rim. Amazing. Also amazing, our Blessed Mother, Mama Mary. We'll talk more about her and the Assumption up next. You're listening to the second hour of Catholic Connection on EWTN's Radio Extra. We're so happy you're listening. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in to the second hour of Catholic Connection, brought to you here on EWTN's Radio Extra Channel. Great to be with you on this, the Solemnity of the Blessed Mother, Mama Mary, as I like to call her. I forgot to mention in the last hour, and hopefully I'll remember to mention it Monday as well. For those of you living in either Northern Ohio or Southeastern Michigan, the Diocese of Lansing, Archdiocese of Detroit, Diocese of Toledo, if you are available, speaking of Mama Mary, I am doing a retreat coming up on September 6th. I will be flying back to Italy for a week and then coming back to do the talk, which I don't mind actually because I love presenting. Anyhow, the theme is all about Mary, Mary, our mother and role model, and it's put on by a beautiful Chaldean community, Mary and Monica's Ministry from Mother of God Church in Southfield, Michigan, which is just north of Detroit. Now, it's going to be a beautiful retreat. Registration, they'd like you to register today or at the latest by Monday. I'll be giving two talks, talking about Mary's role in my life, also giving you some real upbeat encouragement as to why having a relationship with Mary does not take away. As a matter of fact, it enhances our relationship with the Lord. I'll have my books for sale, including my book, Everything's Coming Up Rosy, 10 Things My Feisty, speaking of moms, My Feisty Italian-American Mother Taught Me About Living a Godly Life. And we'll have a wonderful light breakfast. We will have a lunch. We will have a reflection time. I'll give you some reflection questions. And we'll also have just a great time, I think. It'll be a great time of fellowship. Starts at 10, ends at 3, so you still have the rest of your Saturday available. And it's taking place at a beautiful hall in suburban Detroit called the Regency Manor. So for all the information, you can go to my website, which is teresatomeo.com, and just click on the event section. There's a link to the flyer. That's super easy. Register quickly, though, because it is filling up and they need a count in terms of food and whatnot. And they would like you to register at the latest by Monday, but they'll take your registrations a little bit after that. But I would go ahead and register if you're interested. It's a great thing to bring your daughter to. It really is. Or bring a niece, bring a friend. And I think it's a great event to bring someone maybe who has fallen away a bit, because we have a lot of fun. I don't hit anybody over the head with the catechism or the Bible. I do obviously quote scripture and talk about the Blessed Mother, but we have a lot of fun. And I poke a lot of fun at myself because there's so much material to work with. Anyway, it's going to be a great day, Saturday, September 6th. Check it out. If you are in Michigan or Northern Ohio, we'd love to see you for the ladies. September 6th at the Regency Manor, and it will be a beautiful day. Mary, our mother and role model, with yours truly as the presenter. It's all on my website at teresatomeo.com. Okay, Feast of the Assumption. I love these feast days when we talk about Mary. Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when I was coming back to the church, and as I was talking with Dr. Miriam Mori in the first segment, or the last segment of the show, both of us raised Catholic, cradle Catholics. Now, I did have a really, really strong Catholic education. I had great lay teachers. I had great religious teachers. And for whatever reason, at a very early age, I felt a connection with the Eucharist, which is probably why I never officially left the church. I fell away for many years, but I never joined another church. However, I allowed the world to take over. If you recall, I was telling the story, may have been yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that Father Michael Schmitz shared when we were up at the Mackinac Island retreat 2 weekends ago, about the man from China who was a devout Catholic and helping the underground church there, which is the official church, not the above ground church that has to go by what China says they can do. And he would hold masses in his home, and he hired guards to look out, to protect the people attending and also to protect the priest. And one day they found out and they came to the home. The priest got away and they took the homeowner and they tortured him for weeks. And he would not give up the name of the priest. That's how devoted he was to the Eucharist. That's how devoted he was to the faith. And that's how concerned he was about priests. Eventually he moves to the United States, is thrilled that Mass is available every day, goes to Mass every day. And of course, on the weekends to meet the Sunday obligation. Loves the church, but he also started to get a certain amount of success. And he said, well, you know, if I skip daily Mass, I can put in a few extra hours at the office. And then he started to skip Mass on the weekends. Eventually, he was only going to Mass on Christmas and Easter. And then soon after that, that stopped. And there was nothing majorly traumatic that happened when he came to the United States. It was just getting sucked into the world and sucked into the culture. And that's what happened to me. as it happened to Miriam Morey, my earlier guest. And that's why this feast day is very, very important. And that's why what we do here is so important, to help you understand the faith, the feast days, the relationship with Jesus, the relationship with Mary. We need to understand our faith so we could practice it more fully. And the Blessed Mother wants to help us do this in all of her apparitions. She is encouraging us. She is pointing to Jesus. She is pointing to the rosary. She's like a good mom reminding us over and over and over again, but in a loving way. And in my chapter on the Blessed Mother, in my book, Everything's Coming Up Rosy, I start with a scripture verse from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, 26 through 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. So are we not to listen to our Lord's instructions? Because when he's on the cross, he's not just speaking to the apostles, he's speaking to us. And we are supposed to emulate him and emulate the saints and take Mary into our heart and into our home. And understanding these beautiful memorials and feast days can help us do that. As Mother Angelica said in the clip that we played in the first hour in my Fact Check Friday segment, it makes sense. Go and listen, if you haven't gone to Mass yet, listen very closely to the Gospel today. The Magnificat, the Gospel of Luke. Right? What is it that the mother of my Lord, St. Elizabeth, says should come to me? And of course, we know on the Annunciation, what does St. Gabriel say to Mary? Hail, full of grace. If you are full of grace, you can't have anything else in you, which gives us a strong inference to her sinless nature. It really isn't complicated. If you don't understand that, I mean, it's a very deep and powerful teaching, don't get me wrong. But if we just ask God to help us understand, okay, what does this mean? And look at all the resources that we have about this. Listen to Catholic Answers. Go to their website. Get a copy of John Martignoni's great book, Blue Collar Apologetics. Look at the scriptures that talk about, as Steve Ray did, that reference, even though technically it's not in the scriptures, the idea of being assumed. From Genesis, about Enoch, Steve mentioned this yesterday, or 2 Kings, Elijah, okay? Or 1 Thessalonians, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Or 1 Corinthians 15:52, we shall be instantly changed at the last trumpet. Revelation 11:19 and 12:1, the ark in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun. Of course, we always see that as a reference and a very strong one to Our Lady of Guadalupe. How about, though, in the reading today in the Gospel, when Elizabeth says, "At the sound of your voice, the child in my womb leaped." If you go back to the Old Testament, David is dancing before the ark. St. John the Baptist is dancing in the womb before the ark of the new covenant. David had the ark of the covenant. Mary is the ark of the new covenant, the Theotokos. When I started to revisit the teachings of the church and crack open some of them for the first time, I could not get enough of it. I was thinking in Mass last night, before Mass started, I was praying and remembering one of my early experiences at a Catholic bookstore. It was before I worked in Catholic radio. I was buying every single book on apologetics because I was so excited to really learn and embrace all of these teachings. And that was early on in the 90s. Shortly, actually, not too long after, you know, EWTN started. And EWTN made a big difference in my life as well, long before I worked there. Our Lady is so reachable, is so open, is so loving. She's our mama. And as my mother says, and as one of the chapters in my book on Rosie, the Blessed Mother is watching you. And that's a good thing. Let's get closer to her, especially on this beautiful Solemnity of the Assumption. We'll be right back. 27 minutes past the hour on a Friday, August 15th, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. My pastor in homily last night for the Vigil Mass is talking about Mary's yes, her fiat, and what we can do with our yes. Well, what God can do, actually, as long as we're willing and we have an open heart. That's what Mother Angelica did when she said yes to starting a network in the Bible Belt, a Catholic network, right? 44 years later, EWTN is the largest religious broadcasting entity, not just in the United States of America, but in the world. And someone who can give us a great testimony on this is our next guest, who's in studio with us down in Irondale, Edwin Lopez, who's the International Marketing Manager. In addition to celebrating 44 years, we're also celebrating the 25th anniversary, Edwin, of evangelizing via EWTN in the Pacific Rim. How exciting. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, too, for having me here, Teresa.
So what brings you, is it the anniversary that brings you to the EWTN headquarters?
Yes, it's been 25 years since we started in the Asia Pacific region. And what a grace, what a grace. We're now reaching out to India. We're also present in the largest Muslim country in the world. And we're also present in, sometimes I hesitate to mention the names of these specific countries and even personalities for safety purposes, but we're also present in the largest authoritarian state in Asia. Praise be to God.
Wow. So let's talk about your journey. How did you first come to work for EWTN?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I was senior vice president of Prudential of America, a subsidiary way back in Manila. And as I was preparing my speech, you know, in Hawaii, I came across a quote that goes, in a rat race, even if you win the race, you're still a rat, you know? Mm. And somehow it really struck me. And then weeks after that, I received a surprise phone call from the vice president of marketing of EWTN. You know, and so I met with him. We had to meet halfway. So he came from Delaware. I came from Manila. We met in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And his invitation was for me to meet Mother Angelica. And so I did. I flew to Alabama several months later and met her. And that meeting changed my life.
Really?
Changed the course of my career and my family, too. I mean, I remember telling myself, you know, when as I was meeting her, I want what she's got. Mm. You know, I want what she's got. The meaning, the purpose, the zeal, you know, which I've been looking for as an executive in the corporate world. And then eventually, before I accepted Mother's offer to represent the EWTN in the region, it just surprised me that my wife admitted that she had been praying all along that I leave the commercial world, the business world, and that she cares so much for my soul. And the rest is history. And this week, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary as EWTN's Asia-Pacific representative. What a grace.
Amazing. I want to go back to the quote you mentioned about the rat race. Can you repeat that? That was very profound, though. Simple but profound,
yeah,
I think.
In a rat race, even if you win the race, you're still a rat. Mm. And that really struck me. That really, really struck me, you know. And most people today, and that is what drives us, the why behind what we do, we realize that when a family is falling apart, they don't seek for entertainment. They seek for answers. Mm-hmm. When addiction hits the family, they don't seek for additional hectic pleasures. They seek answers. They seek for answers. When illness, when cancer strikes the family, they search for answers. And that's the very meaning of the work that we do, everywhere we are, to bring answers, not promises. And Mother Angelica spoke about that. Don't ever seek happiness, my dear, she would say. Happiness from happenings, because, you know, they come and go. Seek purpose, seek meaning, seek answers. Mm. And what encourages us to go even into hostile territories, you know, territories where the Catholic faith is not welcome at all, you know, is Mother's belief that she's never after ratings, she's never after numbers. She believes that one soul is enough to make heaven rejoice.
What was going on in your life? You said you were looking for meaning, but that phrase hit you so hard. Possibly, I'm just thinking about this, and because there were some struggles you were having, maybe with you were very successful, but you weren't truly satisfied?
That's correct. That's correct. God has blessed me with early achievements in my career. I was general manager at 23. At 29, I remember having three houses. And so wow. I thought I was on top of the world. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 34, because I married early, I saw my son in jail. My son in jail.
Wow.
And I remember looking at him behind bars. And my wife was telling me in the car when we were proceeding to the precinct where he was held. What did I do wrong? I asked her. What have I done wrong? I gave him everything. And you know what my wife said? That's what's wrong, Papa. You gave him everything.
Mm.
And eventually we were able to get him out. And I remember my wife telling me in the car, look, you've been training managers and executives of multinational companies. But I'd like you to do one thing with me. And I said, what would be that? Because your training has never worked, she said. And it was very painful for her, for me, you know, to hear mm-hmm. those words. And she said, starting tonight, we'll pray the rosary together. Not just mumbling, you know, words, but I want us, the family, praying it together on a kneeling position. I said, oh, maybe. Well, that would be easy. And then she said, we will have to do it slowly. Hail Mary, full of grace. Okay, I can do that. And her third request was, you will have to keep your mouth shut. It has never worked. Well, of course, at that point, I was looking for answers. Here I am training executives, you know, on how to manage their lives and their businesses. And I could not even manage my own family and my son.
Yeah.
The first 3 months, he didn't join us for the family rosary. The 6th month, he would just pass us by behind us while we were all kneeling and praying the rosary. And I remember mumbling to my wife, you know, the next time he does that, I will ring this rosary bracelet on his neck, you know. And then my wife said, hey, you promised, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Teresa? On the 9th month, of course, I got home early. I was afraid, you know, because I had that concern. Where could he be? What could he be doing now? I was looking for him inside the house, and I opened the door to his room. I found him there, kneeling, alone, praying the rosary.
Wow.
Truly, St. John Bosco was correct, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When he said, if you want to see miracles, pray the rosary.
Yeah. Amen. We're going to take a quick break and continue this fascinating, beautiful conversation with our friend Edwin Lopez, who's the International Marketing Manager for EWTN. You know, Edwin, there are so many stories, and you know this because you've been with the network, so many stories of those of us who came from success in the secular world, but were so empty. On the outside, it looked like we had everything. Mm-hmm. On the inside, we were broken and searching.
Absolutely.
And then comes along Mother Angelica, this feisty, might I say, Italian-American woman, this beautiful sister who just listened to God and said yes. As she always said, faith is 1 foot in the air, 1 foot on the ground, and a queasy feeling in the stomach. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for tuning in to EWTN's Catholic Connection. What an amazing story. And we're so blessed to have Edwin Lopez, our International Marketing Manager of EWTN, in studio with us in Irondale. We're talking about the 25th anniversary. We have 44th anniversary today of the broadcast network beginning, and also discussing the 25th anniversary of EWTN Philippines and evangelizing the Pacific Rim. So geography-wise, Edwin, if you could give us an idea of the scope of the Pacific Rim and your evangelization efforts and what you're doing in that part of the world.
Yeah. We're also supporting Africa. We're supporting and we're covering the Middle East, too. And then India, China, down to Southeast Asia, then Australia, New Zealand, and Oceania, and then parts of the Pacific Rim. It's indeed large. But the most striking thing about this region is it is high context, Teresa. It's not low context, meaning communications are implicit, nonverbal, relational, and phenomenological. And that's why I think anyone from a low context region would find it very tricky. I remember I attended a business familiarization program in Europe, and there were Germans in front of us and we Asians in front of them. And we were asked this question, how do you perceive one another? So it was our turn first. How do you perceive Germans? And we just had a quick huddle and we said, oh, that's easy. We find you Germans arrogant. Oh, so there was silence in the room. Then it was their turn to tell us how they perceive us. They had a quick huddle and then turned around and said, we find you Asians tricky. What? Tricky. No. And of course, there was a burst of laughter in the room. But I think they were referring to the implicit communications in the region. I'll give you an example. Okay. In Japan, it would be very rare for a Japanese to say no, because, I mean, saving face is in their DNA. So rather than say no, they would say, I'll think about it. Mm-hmm. So imagine an American courting a Japanese girl, and the Japanese girl says, I'll think about it. He would probably come home saying, I have a chance, you know? I would probably pull him inside and say, no, you're busted, man. You know? Mm-hmm. Or in the Philippines, I mean, if you come to the Philippines, a lot of people would find it hard to say no when you're invited in a meal or a snack or coffee. Rather than say no, they would say, I will try. Mm. You come to my mother's party. It's tomorrow night. Please come. I'll reserve a place for you. And the person, instead of saying, no, I can't make it, would say, I'll try. And I think that's where the trickiness comes in. Mm. Mm-hmm.
In terms of the growth, what kind of response have you heard in terms of how much the network means to people in that part of the world?
In terms of numbers, of course, as Father Mark would say, we can only broadcast, you know, we can just sow the seeds and depend on the Holy Spirit on how he would want or where he would want the seed to sprout. But we're reaching about 68 million homes. Wow. In that part of the world, you know, because it's not all internet today. I mean, we still have cable TV, we still have broadcast TV, we still have radio, and we still have direct-to-home satellite dishes. But praise be to God, although digitally, the digital technology is fast catching up, there are still you know, iPhones, mobile phones, there are still homes and a greater portion of the population depending on traditional media. But praise be to God, where we are in these homes.
Absolutely. We're talking with Edwin Lopez, and we're talking about evangelization in the Pacific Rim and the 25th anniversary of EWTN Philippines. When you look back at your life, we were talking about this during the break, it is amazing what God does as long as you say yes. I mean, it's our yes, but he takes that yes and does amazing things with us. And sometimes we put him in a box, but look at what you've been able to do the last 25 years. Can you imagine not doing what you're doing now and what your life might have been like?
That's true. I probably would still be searching it in material gain and useless pursuits, you know. Because at the time, I was really bent on pursuing a business career of a career, let's say, with a multinational. And it was a dream come true when I was made senior vice president of Prudential of America, because I was there. I wanted to be there. I mean, I had my MBA. I was pursuing my PhD, all in commerce. But somehow there's that yearning that nothing in the world could ever satisfy. And then, in fact, Mother Angelica talked about that. You'll have eternity to be with Jesus, my dear. And then she added, but only a very short period of time to serve him. Mm. And that's what keeps me going, because that was my wife's prayer when I left the corporate world to join EWTN, that I be able to surrender my talents, my energy, my attention, my gifts, and give them back to God by serving in his vineyard. And no other opportunity could be better than being part of EWTN, Teresa.
Yeah, no, it is amazing. I still can't believe I work here and I have a radio show. I pinch myself. How the heck did I get here? As a matter of fact, in one of my books, I started out with How to Grow Like Me, Get into a Church and a Radio Job Like This. Because it's like, it is crazy when we look at our lives. So how do you think your gifts in business, because God doesn't waste his time, and you just talked about talents, and you have an amazing amount of talent, understanding of how corporations work, all kinds of very good gifts come with what you did and what you earned in terms of your background in business. How do you feel you're using that to help the gospel being spread?
Absolutely. You know, I had this fondness for communications training. I love doing it. Probably I'll do it even for free, you know. And while I was doing executive work, I would conduct training sessions, coaching sessions for executives and managers on communication training. And then I didn't realize Mother Angelica would want me to put that into good use in proclaiming the eternal word. How? In that part of the world, it's not enough to have digital tools. It's not enough to have platforms. Because in a high context setting like Asia Pacific, relationship and trust come before the message is received. I'd like to repeat that, you know. Relationship and trust come before the message is received, meaning manner is as important as content. And this is where my communications training come in.
Wow.
I do train missionaries, priests, religious brothers, lay missionaries, on how to communicate by proposing without imposing. Aligned with Pope Benedict's, the church imposes, she imposes nothing. Precisely to be able to connect to the people in the region. And the number two, ways to communicate that would stimulate hearts and steer the conscience. And this is the hardest part, the third thing. And this was mentioned by Pope John Paul II in Redemptoris Missio. He said, even before you open your mouth, you can trust that the Holy Spirit is already working in the other person. Imagine that, you know. For me, I'm choleric. I mean, that would be difficult. But to engage someone, to encounter someone, and trusting that the Holy Spirit has come ahead of me, even before I open my mouth, is just mind-blowing. And so I put all these gifts right now, training missionaries, people who really go to hostile territories, and help them also develop some sort of cultural intelligence so that they can adapt and work well with people of other cultures, proposing the faith, not imposing it.
How important, and this is what I love so much about Mother Angelica, is she was so down to earth, she was so real, she laughed at herself, she was very welcoming. And my friend Father John Ricardo, who's from my area, the Archdiocese of Detroit, I'm sure you know who he is, he always says, the gospel comes with a house key. Mm-hmm. And you always felt welcomed by Mother Angelica. She never put herself up on a pedestal. She was so real. How important is that in that part of the world that you serve?
It's very important. It is very important. Yesterday, I was just talking with Father John Paul, you know, about the importance of vulnerability. Because C.S. Lewis mentioned that in one of his books, to love at all is to be vulnerable.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if I were to truly express that empathy towards another, really journey with him, walk with him, I not only would understand his vulnerability, but the best way to understand that is to connect to my own, embrace my own vulnerability as I listen to his. Then it becomes a heart-to-heart communications, not from head to heart, but heart-to-heart communications. And I think that's a more, I mean, Mother was most intimate and authentic. I think it's because as she spoke to us, she was in touch with her own vulnerability. And the more I run away from it, the less authentic I become. I shared a quote that I came across with Father John Paul last night. I said, you know, Father, this really struck me. To be persuasive, one must be believable. To be believable, one must be credible. And to be credible, one must be truthful. And to be truthful, one must be vulnerable.
Wow.
And Mother
so in other
had
words,
it.
Your mother had that, and you have to wear. I think you have to wear your heart on your sleeve and not try to be somebody else.
That's true. knowing my weakness, knowing I'm a dodo, you know, as what mother would say, dodo, you know, someone who doesn't know, it can be done. And I think for as long as we're willing to be dodos, God would be willing to operate in our lives. You know, as the Lord expressed it to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Mm. So what's next for you? Are you going to, I hope, stay with us for a long time in what you're doing? Or do you have any big projects you're working on right now?
Yes, because our job is to meet people where they are, relationally, culturally, and this time, meet them where they are digitally. And so we're developing digital tools. I just kind of mention it exactly, specifically, because it's covert in a way. So as we train missionaries, as we train promoters of the word, because imagine, as Pope Leo said, some people only receive continuing formation for 8 to 15 minutes a week, referring to perhaps Sunday homilies. But I think that's already a luxury compared to those who are in hostile territory. So we have a device where it's loaded with EW10 content. For as long as they have internet, they don't need Apple, they don't need iOS, they don't need Google Play. For as long as they have the internet, this device converts their regular TV to a smart TV. And it's updated automatically. And this is something they can use wherever they are.
That is amazing. It's just incredible to see what's grown from Mother Angelica's, yes, 44 years ago, and what's grown through your great work. Edwin, thank you so much for coming down to the studio and chatting with us. And God bless your work at EW10. I really think, listening to your story and so many other people that I've interviewed at the network and where they come from, how God brought them there should be a book just on testimonies of people at the network.
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes. I certainly would agree.
It's crazy. Yes. Some of the stories they're just amazing the way God works. Well, you are a blessing. We will pray for you. Thank you for all you do. And of course, we've been chatting the last two segments with our friend Edwin Lopez, talking about evangelizing in the Pacific Ring and the 25th anniversary of our network's operations there in the Philippines as well. Edwin, what a joy you are. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you too. And God bless your upcoming retreat, Teresa.
Thank you. Thank you. Pray for us and pray for the ladies who will attend.
I will.
What a great discussion. Thank you so much. It is a Friday morning. It's August 15th, 2025. We'll tell you a little bit about what's coming up on a Monday. But again, I really hope that you will check out the story on the Assumption today and maybe even go back to this interview and listen again, or encourage someone to listen. How the Lord worked in Edwin's life. And we're talking about the Blessed Mother, and a lot of it happened through the Rosary. We'll be right back. Hope you enjoyed the program today. I know I had a great time, as I do every day. What a blessing to be able to share stories like the life of an amazing man who had so much. Everyone looked at him, I'm sure, and said, oh, he's got the money, he's got the position, he's got the degrees, he's got everything, and yet he felt empty inside. And now, 25 years later, he's still working and doing so much good and using all those talents to make a difference. Big time. Big time in terms of the Pacific Ring. We're talking millions of people. Crazy stories. I mean, don't put God in the box. You never know what he can do with your yes. You have to say yes, and then God will take our little yes, and bada boom, bada bing, you will be surprised what he does, because he is God, and we are not. We have to remember that, too. Alrighty then, thank you so much for tuning in to the second hour of Catholic Connection in EWTN's Radio Extra Hour. Monday, I'm not sure what's coming up Monday. I haven't looked at the schedule. Oh, I know what's coming up. Matt Swaim will be there for us, and we'll also have our Bible Verse of the Week with Gail Buckley. But I encourage you, a little homework assignment today, to maybe do some research on, as I mentioned earlier in the 2 cent segment, the Solemnity of the Assumption. What does the Church say about this? There is a dogma that was proclaimed and approved. It was official. 1950, happened in the 20th century. Why did it take so long? It's an interesting topic to look at. You can go to CatholicAnswers.com. You can just go to EWTN, do a search for Assumption, all kinds of great resources. But do yourself a favor and understand why the Church teaches what she teaches. The Church will never, ever steer you wrong. God bless you, and God bless EWTN. 44 years. Praise God. Talk to you on Monday. Ciao, ciao.